Hello, everybody. Welcome and thank you for coming. My name is Reem Ramawi, and I'm the president of Students for Justice in Palestine here at UNO. I would like to introduce David Sheen, a Canadian-Israeli independent journalist and filmmaker. Sheen began blogging when he first moved to Israel in 1999 and has written for many publications, including Al Jazeera, Huffington Post, and The Daily Beast. He has spoken throughout the U.S., Canada, and Europe, and is currently writing a book about African immigrants to Israel and the struggles that they face. Welcome to David Sheen.
Thank you so much for coming. People who weren't able to come out tonight will be able to see this material. And of course, I'm also going to be adding URLs so that when you see some of this stuff, you may find it hard to believe. You'll be able to go onto the internet afterwards and look this stuff up and verify. With the title that I've chosen, The Bullet, The Ballot, and The Boycott, people generally assume that I'm going to be speaking about boycotting Israel. But in fact, I'm not going to be speaking about boycotting Israel. I'm going to be speaking about Israel boycotting. Because I contend that Israel actually boycotts its own non-Jewish citizens in many facets of life. I've only been talking about what's happening inside pre-1967 Israel. Because there's this discourse of liberal Zionists, and when the idea of boycotting Israel comes up, you know, then they're quick to jump in and say, wait a minute, that's not fair. It's not fair to boycott Israel, because if you're opposed to what Israel's doing in the territories, then you should boycott the territories. You should boycott the settlements. You should boycott goods and services that come out of the settlements. But don't boycott Israel. That's a separate entity altogether. Fine. In the West Bank, that's non-democratic Israel. But in the rest of the country, that's democratic Israel. Those are two separate entities. Now, of course, it's completely ridiculous. This is an artificial separation that has no basis in reality, right? That's so-called democratic Israel, where Palestinian people are boycotted. This is what I'm trying to explain to you, that Israel isn't a democracy, that in my mind it's an ethnocracy, and that the rights and privileges are not accorded to people on the basis of citizenship, but on the basis of their ethnicity. The last thing I want to explain to you is what to do about this. If this is the situation, how can we change it? Right? Well, the first question is, can we, those living inside Israeli society, are we able to change it? Well, understand how few we are in number and how weak we are and how despised we are. So in Sheldon Adelson, the way he has so much power in Israel is because he actually is the publisher of its largest circulation newspaper. And he actually publishes several newspapers in the country. And in one of them, he writes, because there are other people like myself who are exposing these crimes and who are whistleblowing, he says that those Israeli human rights groups that contribute to UN reports on what's going on in Gaza, he says that an Israeli standing behind the UN report is an act of treason. These little kikes in our midst. Our ancestors did not settle for just name-calling and carried out executions of these types of people. So when you have Jewish Israeli citizens who speak out against the crimes of the government, you have Israeli newspapers outright calling on for us to be murdered. And this discourse it's all good. The way that we are framed, if you go into the Israeli discourse and you see what right-wing religious people say about us, this is what they call us, Erev Rav. And again, it's another biblical reference. I got to parse for you, mixed multitude. So the idea is, in the time of the Bible, when the Israelites are leaving Egypt, apparently, according to the narrative, there were some other people who joined the Jewish people. That the Israelites weren't alone, and there were other groups of people who went with them on the journey and, you know, tied their fates to the Jewish people and felt affinity with them and were in solidarity with them. So what does this mean? Why are we called Erev Rav? The idea is, according to these right-wing Jews, we are not left-wing Jews who are liberal, bleeding hearts, hippy-dippy, crunchy granola, wishy-washy, left-wing. No, it's not that we are naive Jews. It's that we are race infiltrators. We're not real Jews. We are of another people that snuck in and joined the Jewish people, and that's why we have these divergent views. But in fact, we are not real Jews. We have snuck in. And the thing is that I would hope that when we think about people who are of one group but then join up with the marginalized group and fight with those people who are enslaved in order to, for their joint liberation. You know, when we think about John Brown attacking Harper's Ferry, trying to collect guns to distribute to slaves, to organize slave revolts, you know, we think of him as, we like to think of him as a hero, right? Or when we think about those Jews and Palestinians who left Palestine in the 1930s and flew to Spain or traveled to Spain in order to fight with the Spaniards against Franco and the fascists, when they tied their fates to these people fighting for their liberation, we think of those Jews and Palestinians as heroes, or we'd like to, right? But not in Israel. In Israel, if you are from, they define us as being, you know, coming from another group and joining the group, and because of that, we are race infiltrators. We are not good, we are bad. But that's the Torah version. Again, it gets worse in the Talmud. If you go to the Talmud, it says that all humans are the descendants of Adam and Eve, okay? And human, and us Erev Rav, us leftist Jews, are not the descendants of Adam and Eve. We are actually the descendants of Samael and Lilith. We are the descendants of the archangel of death and a succubus. So this is us. We are demon spawn, according to the Israeli government. Not according to the Israeli government, but according to the right-wing religious Israelis. We leftists are demon spawn. This is how they frame us. Like, they don't just demonize us figuratively. They literally demonize us. I actually think it's kind of hot. You know, I'm not really bothered by this comparison. But the point is that this is what they see in us as being the devil itself. So my point is, we do not have a chance of changing Israeli society from within. Get it through, okay? We do not have the ability or the leverage to make a significant difference in the society. We need pressure from outside if there is to be a positive change. The last thing I'm going to say, because people ask me, they always ask me, can't you say anything good? You're always talking about bad stuff. Can't you at least say something that inspires us, some hope for the future? And I want to be respectful of that. I need that. I have precious little of it, and this is what I have to go back to. But I racked my brains for some time, and this is what I thought of, this one little incident I thought I'd share with you, the final words. So as we see, Israel tries to exclude Palestinian people from the political process, and one of the ways it did so recently was it upped the amount of votes that you need in order to get into the Knesset. Since the Palestinian parties are small, they thought by raising the limit that you need to get into the Knesset, they would eliminate them altogether. Of course, they were clever enough to unite, to come together into one big mega party, so they managed to survive into the most recent Knesset. But the racist legislators that tried to pass this, that succeeded in passing this law, they had forgotten that by trying to exclude the Palestinian representatives, they would also exclude the ultra-Orthodox representatives, because some of these ultra-Orthodox parties in the Knesset are also quite small. So in this freak accident that resulted, you had this weird situation where the interests of the ultra-Orthodox Jews and the interests of the Palestinian parties were the same to try to prevent this legislation. So you had this strange moment in the Knesset where Israel Eichler, a member of the ultra-Orthodox United Torah Judaism Party, went up in the Knesset onto the dais, and he said to the Knesset, admittedly in broken, but in Arabic, and he spoke in Arabic, and he said, "We are with you in your struggle for democracy." And of course, not to be outdone, then Ahmed Tibi, one of the Palestinian members of the Knesset, he then himself went up to the dais and he responded in Yiddish, saying, "In the name of the Arabs, I thank you for your support for democracy." Now, I personally probably don't plan on voting for either Israel Eichler or Ahmed Tibi at any point in the near future, but if we can get to that point where we see our political opponents as humans, where this is how we treat our political, opponents, then we will have achieved that we wish to see. You know, we will have gotten where we need to get. I have my ideas of what I'd like to see happen in the country. Burning Man. I would love to see perhaps a secular one-state vision for the country, and I have some ideas, but it's not about my ideas. You know, if we're going to live together, there's 12 million people living on the land, and we all have different ideas, and we're going to have to work it out together to create this vision. But if we can get to that point where we treat each other with this kind of respect, then we'll have taken the first few baby steps towards creating that culture of coexistence. Thanks for coming out tonight.